Good morning, church. Ruth will be reading. Our reading today is in Titus chapter 2, verses 1 to 8. And Ruth will read the first three verses, and Ryan the next three. And I'll read the last two. So.
You, however, must teach what is appropriate to sound doctrine. Teach the older men to be temperate, worthy of respect, self-controlled, and sound in faith, in love, and endurance. Likewise, teach the older women to be reverent in the way they live, not to be slanderers or addicted to much wine, but to teach what is good.
Then they can urge the younger women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled and pure, to be busy at home, to be kind, and to be subject to their husbands, so that no one will malign the word of God. Similarly, encourage the young men to be self-controlled.
In everything, set them as an example by doing what is good. In your teaching, show integrity, seriousness, and soundness of speech that cannot be condemned, so that those who oppose you may be ashamed, because they have nothing bad to say about us. Thank you.
Well, good morning, New Hope. I'm just going to remove these tape measures. This is very exciting. This is my first time of preaching at New Hope, I think, and I get to do it in front of two marshmallows. So I'm hoping that they listen well. So I'm here, so just in case anyone doesn't know who I am, I know the people in the room do, but you might not if you're at home. I'm Dan, I'm the youth worker at Greyfriars, and I'm really excited to be here talking to you about next generational faith. And there is so much we could talk about. There's so many things we could go into. Joy said I couldn't speak for an hour or two. So I've just kind of cut it down and down and down. So we're just going to do kind of 15 minutes on just what God has put on my heart for us today, and what I feel he's trying to say to us, although I recognise that there's so much more about this topic that we could be talking about. And so it's great to be able to share with you. This is actually my local church, my most local church, and it's great to be here. And I'm really, really passionate about passing on our faith to the next generation. It's literally what I've given my whole working life to make that work, to make that possible for us as Christians, to pass our faith on to the next generation. And it is the most ancient of all paths. If you think about it, Abraham in Genesis 11, if he didn't pass on his faith, we wouldn't be here today. This whole book here is just a record. It's a Bible, by the way. Thanks, Harvey. This whole book is a record of people passing on their faith. Some of them mess it up, but some of them get it right. And really, if people didn't pass on their faith, then we wouldn't have a faith today. We wouldn't have any idea who Jesus was. We wouldn't have any idea who God was. And so it's all about passing on faith. And it's going to be so important for us as a church in our mission to reach out and to pass our faith on to the younger generations. A few years ago, a guy called Mark Griffiths, and I find that name hard to say, he wrote a book called One Generation from Extinction. The whole premise of the book was that if we don't pass on our faith to the next generation, the whole faith could go extinct, because there's no one then afterwards who knows about Jesus, who knows the good news. And so it just kind of shows the importance of what it means to pass on our faith to those who are younger, to the next generation. Obviously, God is bigger than that and won't let that happen. He won't let our faith go extinct. But it just shows the importance of what it means to do this well. And it has to be important for the mission of the church. And it's great, and I'm so encouraged that this is kind of a pillar of what it means to be part of New Hope going forward. As you think about what the purpose is, it's so important that we are kind of re-envisioned to put children's and youth work at the top of the priorities, or at least that's what I'm saying today anyway. And I recognise that as we do that, I want to encourage you that we will be blessed as adults by children and young people, because they have so much to teach us as well. You've probably heard it said that it takes a village to raise a child. Well, along the same principle, I wholeheartedly believe that it takes a whole church to raise a child in faith, to raise a young disciple. It's easy to think that maybe that's just about helping out when we need to, maybe just troubleshooting, fixing some problems. But I think it's so much more than that. It's about being intentional. It's about investing in young people and in children and helping them to see faith, not just helping families out when they need a hand. It's about everyone in the whole community taking a real interest in children, in young people, and seeing it as a priority for their faith and for the mission of the church. It's about giving everyone that opportunity to input into their character, taking an active interest in children and young people, speaking to them, befriending them, loving them, caring for them, spending time with them, exploring faith and fears and doubts and drama in their life, trials and temptations. That opportunity to share life with them. As you were looking at family last week, that's what this is about, isn't it? It's about family. It's about sharing life with those of a younger generation, all for their good and for God's glory. And I've said for our good as well. It takes a whole church to raise a child, to help them discover faith and to be a part of that. That's what the invitation is today, for you to be a part of that. And I guess the first big question is, what role can we have in that? What does that look like? Hopefully in 2 minutes, I've convinced you it's important. I probably need a bit longer, but what role does that look like? What does it mean for us, for all of us, to pass that faith on to the generation below? And even if you're 11, 12, 10, there's still younger people than you in church, unless you're the youngest in church. Congratulations. But everyone else has someone younger than them that they can pass faith on, that they can teach, that they can show what it means to follow Jesus. And so the first thing that we can do is be role models for those who are younger than us. To be role models for those who are younger than us here at New Hope, so that they can see what it means to follow Jesus in us. Just in our passage that was wonderfully read, thank you, Titus 2 verse 7, it says, in everything, set them an example by doing what is good. Now this verse in particular is written to young men especially, but surely that principle is so important to all of us. As we heard, the instructions are given to lots of different groups of people to show them what it means to be church together, to set examples to those around us. We're supposed to be good for each other. We're supposed to help each other. We're supposed to encourage each other. And part of that is to be good examples to one another. I remember when I first started in youth ministry, someone, I don't know who it is, I can't remember, but they gave me such a valuable piece of advice that I've never forgotten and has stuck with me ever since. They said that young people are far more likely to remember who you are than what you teach them. They're more likely to remember what you're like than what you say to them, what you teach them. And Ruth, who was here on Thursday, probably can't remember a lot of what I taught her on Thursday evening, but I'm sure she still knows who I am, I think. Character really matters. And it's true even when I look back to my school days and I think about my teachers. Like my teachers taught me loads of stuff to get through my exams. Like I used to know how to do trigonometry and what the chemical symbol for mercury was. I don't remember those things anymore, even though they taught me them. But I do remember that my science teacher was really lovely and kind to me, and my maths teacher wasn't. I hope she's not watching. I doubt she is. The next generation will remember what you're like, what we're like. And we need to be good examples to them for what it means to follow Jesus. And if you've ever spent any time with children, you'll know that one of their favourite things to do is to copy you. One of the ways that they learn is through copying. I spent some time with my goddaughter last weekend, and we were just having dinner, and I put cheese on my chili, and so she just did the same. And it was just the most natural thing for her was to copy what someone else was doing. And that's what it's like. That's one way that children and young people learn. They copy us. Just imagine that they see you praying at home. And so maybe they'll try praying as well. They see you just bring up God in conversation with those around you. And so maybe when they go to nursery or school, they might have the confidence to do the same. Or they see you glorifying God by putting your all into your work. Maybe, just maybe, they'll do the same with their homework. It's a big ask, but maybe they will. A challenging question for you that I've been wrestling with for the last 10 years is, do you want children at church to be like you when they grow up? Do you want young people at church to be like you when they grow up? And I spend quite a bit of time thinking about that in my life. And when I arrived at Greyfriars, I realized that there was this culture among young people, among the teenagers there especially, of being busy all the time, of always being busy. It was like a badge you could hold up, and it was like being busy was the best thing ever. And so it was all about having a club to go to, something to do at the weekend, a performance, a music class, friends to spend time with, someone, family to visit, a church to go to, grades to get, homework to do. And I'm aware that all of those things are important for young people. But it became this culture of busyness. And then as soon as a young person turned up at youth group, I'd say, oh, you know, how are you doing? How's your week been? How are you feeling? And there was always one response. And there still is. Can you guess what it is?
Busy.
Well, not busy. What comes after busy? Tired. Tired. Busyness leads to tired, doesn't it? We all know that. And so I slipped into the exact same thing in my first couple of years at Greyfriars. And I said, everyone's busy. I need to be busy too. And then I ended up being busy. And then I also ended up being really tired, because that's the most natural progression. And then God really challenged me. And I remember it really clearly. He said, do things differently. Show the young people at Greyfriars that there's a different way to live, that you don't have to be tired all the time. And I know part of that's being a teenager and bodies changing and all of that. But there is a real sense that actually we didn't need to do that, and that I needed to show them that life in all its fullness was not filling up life. And that felt really significant to me. And since then, I've tried, and I've sometimes failed. Sometimes I've been tired. I think that's allowed. But just to model that life doesn't need to be really full up. And hopefully, that's me saying, I want the children at church, the young people at church, to realise that there's a different way of living that's not super busy. And that's just a small example, but it helps me to answer that question of, do you want children and young people at church to be like you when they grow up? And I realised at that point I didn't, and so I changed something. And so this actually puts a huge responsibility on all of us, to have lives that are sold out for Jesus in every area of our lives, so that the next generation can see faith modelled in those around us. And the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians really got this. He says, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Do not cause anyone to stumble. And then he lists Jews, Greeks, the Church of God. The Church of God would include children, I would assume. Even as I try to please everyone in every way. For I'm not seeking my own good, but the good of many, so that they may be saved. And then he says, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. The next generation will follow your example, whether that's good or bad. So let's be the best Jesus followers we can be for those young people. But that's obviously not the only way. There's more to it than just role modeling. Children and young people need to be intentionally invested into. They need our time, our effort, our money, our resources. And I don't use the word investment by accident. I've been thinking about that this week. In a financial sense, if we make an investment, and not that I've ever been in a position to be able to, working for a church for 10 years, but if we make a financial investment, I've been told, we might not see returns on that investment straight away. It can take years for that investment to come off. Sometimes it needs to grow and mature. And there's often a risk involved as well for those investments. And the same, I believe, is true of young people. We might not see returns on our investment in them straight away. It might take years and years. We might not even be the ones to see it. And there is a risk involved as well. We're putting ourselves out there. But it's worth it. It's worthwhile. I've seen enough lives transformed by the message of Jesus to know that it's worth it. And for everyone that's watching this, if you believe in Jesus, someone told you. Someone told you about Jesus. Someone modeled that life to you. And we need to be doing the same for those who are younger than us. And so I really think it starts with intentionality. Deciding that this is important as a church and as an individual. And it's worth your sacrifice of time and effort and money and resources and all of those things. And without it, it won't work. Children's and youth work can't be an add-on. It can't be something that's an afterthought, that's put on the side of all the rest of the activities that that church does. If you want to see children and young people grow in church, if you want to see the next generation rise up to follow Jesus, as we've just been singing about, as Harvey was singing for us, if we want to see that happening, then it requires us to be intentionally involved. And here at New Hope, you guys are so blessed because you've got Abby. She hasn't paid me to say any of this, but she's brilliant. And I love working with her, and she does such a great job here. But she can't do it all herself, and neither should she have to. It's actually not her responsibility to see kids grow up to know Jesus. That responsibility is shared amongst the whole church, the whole village, if you like. It's everyone's responsibility. Abby's there to oversee and bring direction and vision and to equip people and to put the structures in place to help kids and young people thrive and grow in their faith. But she needs everyone to be involved. It's the responsibility of the whole church to do this. And if you're not sure how to get involved, Abby is a very creative individual who will find a way for you to be able to help her out. Obviously, things look different during COVID season, but that's okay. Abby will find a way, I'm sure. At my old church, there was an elderly lady who really wanted to invest in the lives of children in the community. But she had no idea how to, and she couldn't join in with the normal groups because of health reasons and things like that. And so what she did, we had connection with about 100 kids in the community, and what she did was she wrote 100 birthday cards a year and made sure that they got to every child that we had connection with as a church on their birthday, so that they knew that the church knew it was their birthday. And that they knew that someone was thinking of them and that they were loved in that moment. And that is just a really, like, it's just a creative way. If you think you can't do it, there's going to be something that you can do. There's always something you can do. Maybe you can not think about the masses of children, but you can just think, actually, how can I support a family at New Hope? How can I invest in the kids and the family life? Maybe I can text a family, a parent, once a week and just see how I can be praying for them. Maybe I need to take round some food every now and then for them to, when they, or take their kids out to the park or whatever it is, help with homework. How can you be investing in the lives of children and young people in the next generation? And I've spoken to enough people about helping out with kids and youth work over the last 10 years to know that there are a lot of kind of perceived barriers that stop people from joining in. And so I just wanted to kind of dismantle some of those. There are very few things that will disqualify you from helping out with kids work, with youth work, with showing the next generation the love of Jesus. Obviously, there's kind of safeguarding stuff that the church takes really seriously, and that's really important. But things like age and health and intelligence or biblical literacy, some people say to me, I just don't have the Bible knowledge to know. Well, you don't have to. There's people around that can help. People, young people just want people to hear their questions sometimes, not always give them the perfect answer. You have something to offer that others can't because God has gifted you in amazing ways. He's made you unique. And that's what the body of Christ is all about. Your gifts are needed. an hour ago on Zoom, I think it was an hour, yep, about an hour ago on Zoom, at Greyfriars, there were 10 or 12 young people being led through a Bible study by a 66-year-old lady who's part of the congregation at Greyfriars. And she's brilliant. She was taking my place this evening, not this evening yet, it's been a long morning, but not that long, this morning. So she always helps me out, and this morning she was leading it, and she's brilliant. She's so wise and helpful and loving and caring for these young people that I trust her completely to be leading these young people. And I would not trade her for a trendy 21-year-old under any circumstances. Some of the best youth teams I've ever been part of and formed have all been about different ages and stages, lots of different people coming together. And so no one is disqualified. No one is counted out. There's always going to be something you can do to help to see the next generation know and love Jesus. And I think the most important thing in all of this is our heart. When our heart is in the right place, God can do great things through it. When I didn't want to become a youth worker, I was arguing with God, you know, and I said to God, I don't want to do this. I don't know what I'm doing. I haven't got any training. I haven't got any experience as part of youth groups. I don't know what's going on. God, I don't want to do this. I'm going to say no to this role. And I was walking along the beach one cool night, and within minutes of telling God these things and making sure that he knew that he had to make it clear to me that he wanted me to do it if that was the case, despite my lack of anything to know what I was doing, within minutes I was just crying, I was weeping on this beach because God had broken my heart with love for young people in the town I was in. And I sensed him say to me, I mean, it was a bit of a downer in a way. Like, you don't have the skills, you don't have the training, you don't have the qualifications, but at the moment you don't need them, the first thing you need is love. And that was what started my journey in investing in the next generation. And I knew I didn't know what I was doing, and I broke youth groups in the process. But God knew that he'd broken my heart for them, for young people, for the next generation. And that was what was mattering most to him. And I think he says the same to all of us, that you might not know what you're doing, but if you want to serve children and young people, just ask God to break your heart for them. Just ask God to show you his love, just a glimpse of his love. And he will do that. That is a prayer he loves to answer. And he will find a way for you to be involved. Because if it starts with our hearts and it starts with love, God will do great things. And just to finish, and we're trying to cram so much in, there are so much, as I mentioned at the beginning, that we will learn from those who are younger than us. You will be blessed by reaching out to the next generation, as a church and as an individual, because they have so much to teach us. I know that we often think we can go into the room and think that they need to know that we've got the answers, and we're going to tell them the answers, and we're going to show them what it means to follow Jesus. And part of it is that, but lots of it, my experience is you'll walk away after a couple of hours of spending time with them and go, wow, they taught me so much. They taught me so much about what it means to follow Jesus. They've challenged us. They've blown us away with their integrity, with their questions. And this shouldn't surprise us, because Jesus told us that we should be like them. Jesus said, be like little children. You see these kids around you, be like them. And how can we be like them if we don't spend any time with them? They have a different outlook on life, a refreshing perspective so often, a simple naivety, and often a greater awareness of the presence of God. The Holy Spirit fills young people just as much as he does older people. He gives them gifts and blesses them with fruit that are needed in the church, not just the church of the future. We often talk about investing in the church of the future. We need them in the church today, because children and young people, the next generation, are the church of the present as well as the future. Their gifts are part of the body of Christ. We need all the parts of the body, not just the older ones. We need the young parts of the body too. They have so much to add. We need to make space for children and young people in our congregations, in our churches, to contribute and to give, because they have so much in them, and we will be so blessed by passing on our faith to them. And so we're just going to come in to land there. And as I say, like, this is just a very brief overview of what it means to be part of children's and youth work, to pass on our faith to the next generation. There is so much more to it as well. But we really, like, hopefully you just see the importance of it today, that the faith needs to be passed on to the next generation. And also that you have a part to play in that. We all have a part to play in the mission as we pass that on. And so just as we're about to sing our next song, looking at what it means to be a blessing and what God is going to do, how God blesses us and will bless many generations, I'm going to pray for each and every one of us. Lord, thank you that you call each and every one of us into this mission field for you. That no one is disqualified, no one is left out. That all of us, no matter how old or young we are, we have a role to play in passing on our faith to those who are younger than us. And I pray that you would give us love in our hearts, a heart of compassion. And I pray for new hope now, that as we look forward, you would help this to be central. Collectively, we would put this as part of the mission of this church. Holy Spirit, come now and flood us with your love, because we can't do any of this without you. And Lord, we pray for our children and our young people that we know who are part of life here, part of our family here at New Hope. Lord, would they teach us as well? Would they show us what it means to follow you? And we do pray your blessing upon this generation and the generations to come, that they would know your peace and your love and your saving power. In the name of Jesus, amen.